You're listening to The Gold Standard on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alex Gold.
Mentioned it a little bit earlier this hour, more thoughts on what occurred last night between the Atlanta Braves and the Marlins. Certainly a big story today across baseball. Now we know the punishment is out there. It's a 6-game suspension for intentionally hitting Ronald Acuna Jr. And we welcome in Barry Bloom, MLB columnist for Forbes, kind enough to join us tonight on SB Nation Radio. And Barry, let's start right there. Got a lot to talk about. I want to start there, though. First, just what was your reaction last night when you saw what was clearly an intentional hit by the very first pitch of that game?
Well, you know, I've seen it many times before, and you can't take into account how frustrated a team gets or a pitcher might get facing a hitter who's just, you know, beating the hell out of them in recent days. It doesn't excuse it at all, but these are human beings and their frailties, and, you know, the sport is played on an edge, as you saw with the fight between Puig and Hundley that escalated the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I once was back in the day when I covered the Padres for the San Diego Tribune. It was the mid-'80s and kind of same sort of situation where Andre Dawson was just killing the Padres, and I think he had hit a couple of home runs the night before. First game, afternoon game, he hits a home run off Eric Chow. Next time he's up, he's dangling over the strike zone, you know, with his bat, and how Chow hits him right in the face. Now, it escalated into a huge brawl, and, you know, Chow was later apologetic about it, saying he really didn't do it on purpose. But, yeah, in the moment he did it on purpose. I mean, people always have that kind of intent. And maybe they're doing it just to send a message and the pitch gets away. But, you know, you can hurt somebody. And that's why in this day and age the punishment is appropriate.
Now, when you look at what occurred yesterday, I mean, how much do you think the reaction has been because it was just so obvious? I mean, it is the first pitch. It's a guy that, you know, had hit leadoff home runs in consecutive games, a guy that was hot, as you had mentioned as well. Do you think the reaction is different at all if it was later in the game, if it just wasn't so obvious, especially now that people have dug up some of the stats and said, all right, that was the fastest actually pitch that the guy's thrown all year and just made it so obvious?
No, I just go back to the point where, you know, whether Donnie told him to do it, whether it was something that came among the pitchers, whether or not he decided to take it on his own, it really doesn't matter. I think the kid had a fractious moment, and it was emotional, and it was an emotional response to a situation the team is in, mm-hmm. in a frustrating season, particularly for the Marlins, and he just reacted. And I think you can't make it really any more obvious than just the situation is that these are human beings and they react. Doesn't mean that they're right. Doesn't mean they're wrong. They just do it. And they don't think of the circumstances. They don't think it'll be better off doing it later in the game. You know, you want to send a message on the first pitch, and that's what you're going to do. And, you know, this is where analytics doesn't take any of this into account, because analytics doesn't take into account the raw emotions that create the numbers that they analyze.
Barry Bloom, MLB columnist for Forbes, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. And your thoughts on the punishment? We know now 6 games and a fine. I don't think anybody's surprised to see that is what the punishment was. But what would you say to those that wonder, why wasn't this more? Baseball maybe had a chance to send a message. And I understand what you're saying. A lot of people have said, hey, this has been going on for a while. You kind of brought up some of the history there as well. But there's some that say, all right, this maybe was an opportunity for baseball to say, all right, this is 2018 now. We are going to police things a little bit differently.
Well, remember, all the punishments are collectively bargained. Major League Baseball can't stand up and make a decision that goes beyond what they're allowed to do in the collective bargaining agreement or the basic agreement. This has already been dictated by what they can do in negotiations with the players. And I think there's always kind of an argument here where, you know, if Acuña then came to the mound and swung a bat at the guy, mm-hmm. and he got six games too,
right.
then you're saying, well, six games for a hitter, and it's maybe one start for a pitcher. You know, this is kind of what's gone on and on and on. So whether it's appropriate or inappropriate, I think that's pretty much what's dictated by the rules.
So I guess along those lines then, and when the next CBA is up, do you feel that, and I know it's a tricky one because no player wants to agree to being suspended more games potentially, but do you think that's something that needs to be addressed in baseball, though, when it comes to looking at some of these punishments the next go-around?
No. I think that these are isolated incidents, mm-hmm. and it's not like we're talking about these are happening on a daily basis. I mean, really, if you really go back history-wise, you know, when Bob Gibson and John Drysdale and Whitey Ford and those guys were patrolling the mound, I mean, they backed off and threw at the biggest stars in the world, whether it's Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Mickey Mantle. I mean, you know, it's like if you crouch the plate, you're going to get it. And these guys didn't care, and they weren't culpable. But, you know, it's a different era now, mm-hmm. and it only happens so little in the league during the course of the season. That I think the punishments are probably pretty appropriate.
Talking some Major League Baseball with Barry Bloom, kind enough to join us. He's an MLB columnist, of course, for Forbes here on SB Nation Radio. And let's talk a little bit about what's actually going on when it comes to teams in the playoff hunt as well. And how much trouble are the Dodgers in right now when it comes to Kenley Jansen, a serious heart issue for him, and that bullpen seems to be a mess.
Well, they obviously are in serious trouble because, you know, they left themselves without a backup in case something or anything happened to Jansen. So, I mean, without Jansen out, and he wasn't having the greatest year for Jansen either, you know, they were pretty much left naked in the bullpen. You know, maybe, you know, watching the end of the game last night, you know, Pedro Baez came in for the last couple of innings, and he pitched as well as I've seen him pitch. And if he could pitch like that and they can use him at the back end, and, you know, all those guys, whether they be, you know, the baseball management people, operations people, or Davey Roberts, I mean, they dictate all this anyway. So if they have confidence in him that he'll be able to do the job, maybe they'll just try him for a little bit. But, I mean, really, Baez is the type of pitcher who can blow up any second, too, and has done so many times. So I don't know about that. I mean, they're definitely in a precarious situation right now. And I don't see that there's anybody out there or they're going to be able to get, and certainly nobody who's going to pass through waivers at this point that's really going to help them. So I think they're pretty much stuck. Now, I probably think, you know, if you're looking at it, I think the Nationals are in a lot deeper trouble in the same situation as mm-hmm. the Dodgers are right now.
Now, since you brought up, you know, maybe going out and acquiring some way unrelated to the Dodgers, do you think we'll see a guy like a Josh Donaldson, who I guess tweeted out a video today of him running. He's still going through rehab. Do you think we see someone like him get traded before the end of the month? I know he's got to get back first.
No. Donaldson's, I think, pretty much shot for the year. You know, he can throw out whatever videos he wants. At this point, you're not even going to be able to put him on the roster until September. And at that point, you're setting playoff rosters already. Mm-hmm. I don't see him helping a team that's running for the playoffs right now.
Time with Barry Bloom, MLB columnist for Forbes, joining us here on the Gold Standard SB Nation Radio. And when you look at this Red Sox team, where is their weakness with what they've been able to do this year? They're the only team that really hasn't gone through a rough patch.
Well, they've taken advantage of a very weak American League where essentially you have six teams that can play and the rest of the teams can't. And really the difference in the Red Sox season to the Yankee season is that the Red Sox have done that and the Yankees haven't. You know, for whatever reason, they've split with Baltimore. They just lost 2 out of 3 at home to the Tampa Bay Rays. I think they're 1-5 down there, and you see the gap. I mean, it's all made up in that gap. I mean, the Orioles have lost maybe 1 or 2 games to the Orioles all season, and the Orioles are 50 games out. So the 10 games are really made up of that, not to mention the 4-game sweep of the Red Sox, you know, recently. So their probably only weakness might be middle inning relief, which, you know, they were trying to shore up in the short term and didn't. And, you know, there might be somebody who will pass through waivers between now and September 1st that might shore that up a little bit. But, I mean, really, they've got a great starting rotation, you know, with Sale coming back, Sale, Purcell, and Price, really good. I mean, they've got the best closer really in the league right now in Kimbrel, the most consistent. And, you know, their hitting, young hitting, has been, you know, tremendous. You know, J.D. Martinez, who, you know, I saw for the last 8-9 weeks of the season in Arizona last year and had a tremendous month of September, has just continued along doing what he was doing and doing it in Boston for them. And he's basically replaced Ortiz in the lineup, which they didn't have last year, even though they won 93 games. So now it's going to come down to really in the American League, you know, who are the wild cards? Do the Yankees play well enough to even hold on to one of those?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then who do the Red Sox get in the first round? Because even Houston's now in a precarious situation with Oakland and Seattle right on their tail. So, I mean, what wasn't much of a race at the All-Star game in the American League has now tightened up under those circumstances. So you really can't tell who they're going to wind up with in the first round. But you know they're going to wind up with some tough team. And if they wind up against the Indians again, the Indians match their starting pitcher. And that's what's happened the last 2 years where they've been eliminated. So, I mean, really, you could have, under the right scenario, the Yankees either getting blown out in the wild card or, you know, not even making it, and the Red Sox getting knocked out in a division series, and then the whole thing is completely wide open.
Lastly for you, Barry, over the weekend, I saw you put out a story about Barry Bonds. He had his number retired out in San Francisco, and in that column you kind of mentioned just now, this will allow potentially some old wounds that were there in the Bay Area to begin to heal with that organization and with Barry Bonds.
Well, yeah, that's kind of conjecture on my part. I mean, I think that they're old wounds that are never going to heal.
Mm-hmm.
But I think both sides are grown up now and they've learned to live with it. And I think the most important facet of this thing with the Giants and Bonds is that, you know, they brought Bonds back into the family. And even though it was 11 years ago and they didn't let him finish his career, you know, under the circumstances Barry wanted to finish it, that's all kind of like cliche water under the bridge at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to move forward. And where they are is simply that, you know, there are 5 Hall of Famers, you know, in Marichal, McCovey, Mays, Gaylord, those, Cepeda, they're all getting older and they're all going to go by the wayside. And Bonds at 54 and healthy is going to be the standard bearer of this franchise for decades. And that's where the Giants have decided to go. And their, you know, fan base loves them. And I think the next step is just, you know, some of my colleagues in the baseball writers forgetting about all this BS,
mm-hmm,
and just voting him into the Hall of Fame. Because no matter what he did or what they think he did, he's the only player in history with 700 home runs and 500 stolen bases, and he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Barry Bloom, MLB columnist for Forbes, kind enough to join us tonight. I appreciate your perspective on everything, and thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, and always glad to be on.
Absolutely. Good stuff from him. And, you know, I agree with him at the end there about Bonds and writers just needing to forget the BS. Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. You know, clearly him and I have different opinion on the situation with the plunking last night and, you know, the 6-game suspension there for Ronald, not for Ronald Acuna, but after he got hit, but more so for Urena. And, you know, he's kind of just saying, you know, it's the way it's been, and you have to think of the human element and all that. You know, I disagree with it, but that's the opinion that a decent amount of people have. And certainly I think there's definitely those that grew up around baseball if they are above 45 years of age, and that's kind of the philosophy that many have when it comes to what occurred last night. When we come back, though, a rarity in baseball tonight, also some history. That's next on the Gold Standard.